Let's jump right in here to Jeremiah chapter 18, and let's all stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, and might I say, this is one of the major passages in the book of Jeremiah. This is one of the major passages, and if I was not going to be gone some Sundays, Sunday or Sundays, I would really love to spend 2 or 3 weeks in this passage. I'm not going to do this justice today. This is, maybe I will, when I come back, maybe I will go more into this, but there's more here than meets the eye. Let's just put it that way. And I can't get it all in one Sunday, especially when I have a plane to catch. But let's read the first 8 verses. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled, or some translations say was marred, in the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. It's very important. As it seemed good to the potter to do. Then, as Jeremiah was watching that happen, it said, then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done? Declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time, then he says here, if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, if I declare I'm going to destroy this nation, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. In other words, I will not perform the disaster. And so if I can, this morning, I'm not going to do this justice, but let me try. I'm going to talk about Jeremiah's visit. Jeremiah visits the potter's house. And let's ask the Lord to help us today. God, Father, Lord, this is your word. And we pray that you would let your word is already anointed, God. And we pray that you would just open our minds and our ears, Lord, and our hearts, that we could hear and understand and receive your word, God, your holy scripture, Lord. Let it be down in our hearts today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated today. The word of the Lord, verse 1, came to Jeremiah saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And that's where I'm going to speak to you. And I just want to say, first of all here, in order to understand this text, in order for us to understand what's going on here, let me ask you a question. Can we read this and analyze it with a 21st century mindset of a modern society living in Western culture? Can we get to the bottom of the text, looking at the text from the view of a modern Western 21st century? Can we do that? Not really. Not really. We can't. What we need to do to understand the text like we do on any other text is, what did it mean to that original audience? How would you have looked at this text, Brother Christopher, if you were not a truck driver in the 21st century, living in Western culture, but how would you have looked at it if you would have been an ancient Jew? An ancient Jew. Okay? Living in that time. Brother Lloyd, what would it have meant to you, not now, here, in the United States in 2024, but what would it have meant to you as a Jew living in Judah over there in Jerusalem back in ancient times? What would it have meant? And in order to understand that, you need to know a little bit about some of the Hebrew that's being used here. And so in order to think like an ancient Jew, we need to know that we need to think, we need to know the definition of words and what does it mean, and we'll see. And for example, when I think of a potter, I just think of somebody, Sister Carmen, that makes pottery. I mean, that's it. That's it. That's all I think of. Because why? Because I'm living here in the United States in 2024. I've done inspections of pottery places when they have these kilns that you can put them in there, and they call it firing the, you know. To me, it's just, you're making pottery. But in Hebrew, the Hebrew word, and think about this. What is pottery made out of? Clay. What's clay made out of? And Sister Carmen, the Hebrew word for potter means someone who forms, someone who shapes, someone who forms and shapes. So now let me ask you, if you were an ancient Jew and you're seeing earth, which being made clay, like which is clay, and it's being formed and it's being shaped, where's your mind going to go? Where?
Mine went to pottery.
Pottery.
Creation.
Where in the Bible, Brother Carl?
Genesis 1.
It's going to go right back to Genesis. Actually, I believe it's Genesis 2, but yeah, you're right, you're right. Okay, you're right. You're going to go right back to Genesis. Because if you look in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed." Remember, that word potter means one who forms, one who molds, one who shapes. "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground." That's why, kind of like what clay is made from. "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul." If you were an ancient Jew, when you would immediately understand, oh my goodness, there's more going on here than just a man making clay. God is sending Jeremiah here to show that it's almost that we can go back to Genesis, to where God, almost like a potter, formed and molded and shaped a man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And it says that he went down in verse 3. He says, "So I went down to the potter's house, and he was working at his wheel." Okay? But if you look at it in the King James, and here's where you can get in a fist fight. If you read it in the King James, it doesn't say working on his wheel. It says working on his wheels, plural. And you say, well, somebody's wrong right on that, and somebody's wrong on that. No. No, I hate to disappoint you. Most translations do say wheel. Well, you say, well, why does one say wheel and the other say wheels? Come on, why can't these Hebrew scholars just stinking agree? Well, show that photo that I... That's a potter's wheel. It's called a potter's wheel. It's the name of it. The Hebrew, though, is plural, even though there's one unit. Why? And I don't have my little red dot here. Here we go. Because it's got two wheels. Look at this one down here. Look at this one up on top. Because what would happen? He would take that clay and he would put it up on that top wheel, but he needs to spin that top wheel. That top wheel needs to spin so that clay pot can be turning and he can be molding it and shaping it. And how can you do that? In ancient times, what they started off doing was they would just have one wheel and the potter would be using one hand to mold and shape the clay in the other hand, or maybe get a helper and say, and I'm forming it, and I say, hey, Carl, get over here and spin this wheel, man. And then one day somebody had an idea, wait a second, I can put another wheel down here and that potter can use his feet and he can begin to spin that. And so that's what was going on there. It was whether you want to call it wheels or wheel, it's one unit with two wheels. So take your pick if you want to call it wheel or wheels. It don't make no never mind to me. Okay? Verse 4, it says, the vessel he was making was of clay was spoiled, or some translations say marred, in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. It's very important to understand that the potter didn't make a mistake. It wasn't that he was making and molding, Brother Christopher, something, and oops, I made a goof. Now I'm going to have to fix my goof. I mean, that would be like God making Adam and saying, oh, man, I got the ear right in the middle of the... I'm going to have to start all over again. No. The potter didn't make a mistake. There was something flawed about... This is what scholars say. Brother Lloyd, something was flawed with the consistency of the clay. Sister Carmen, it's almost as though you were going to make brownies and you had flour and everything in there and you're mixing it all together and you think, I've got it all mixed together really good, and then all of a sudden you find a lump of flour that didn't. But you say, man, I stirred it. Has that ever happened? Come on. Oh, yeah. There was a problem with the consistency of the clay. And so an imperfection. And listen, I want to tell you something. There isn't any of us here that are as consistent as we think we are. You say, oh, Pastor, listen, I'm consistent. Let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. And he was able to rework that inconsistency. Put yourself on the wheel of the potter today. That potter was able to take that inconsistency in that clay and rework it to where all of a sudden you had a beautiful vessel. It just needed some of the kinks, some of the imperfections. That process in the New Testament is called sanctification. Paul uses the word sanctification in the book of Romans. Sanctification, it's the process of becoming holy. Meaning that when you're very first saved, you might be pronounced holy in the eyes of God, but there is a process that lasts your life long, that lasts all life, to where God is improving, refining, and perfecting you. It's called sanctification. You're on the potter's wheel, and the potter is finding inconsistencies and finding things and fixing them. And the other thing I want to say here, the last part of this verse says, as it seemed good for the potter to do. He reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good for the potter to do. One translation says, as it was right in the eyes of the potter to make. Or another translation said, as the potter saw fit. The meaning is this. Are you ready? The potter makes the decision, not the clay. You say, well, what are we talking about here? Can I get on something a little controversial here? Can I get on something where you say, oh, Brother Wiggins, please, This is church. Why do we got to get all controversial? Who's not going to get it? Who's not insecure here? Brian, you're not insecure. Now, Brian, when I see you, I just see the epitome of masculinity, okay? You're a man. You're a man. Everything about you ekes man, masculinity. You don't want to know why? God made you a man. The potter made you a man. Therefore, bless God. Be a man. But we are living in a day and an age in which people in our culture are wanting to rise up and say, oh, no, I might be a biological male, but I identify as a female. Well, you remember one thing. That potter formed that vessel as the potter saw fit. If God made you a man, be a man. If God made you a woman, bless God, be a woman. But to say, no, I don't care how God made me, I'm going to be what I want to be, that is an act of open rebellion against your Creator. And you say, Brother Wiggins, that is ugly to say that. I am so sorry. But that's the way it is, folks. It's the way it is. We've got to be what God created us to be. Did you know? Here about a year ago, I couldn't watch it. Brother William, I couldn't watch it. It was too disturbing to me. It was a man, and he said, I don't identify as a man. I don't identify as a woman. He had these little ears on. He had a little suit on with a little tail. He goes, I'm a cat. And he found somebody stupid enough to take him in and let him live in their house and be a cat. You know what? Just be what God created you to be. Just be what. If God created you to be a man, you know what? Celebrate manhood and be everything God wants you to be. If God created you as a woman, then bless God. Be a woman and celebrate womanhood and let glorify God in the way that God created you. Because the potter makes the decision, not the clay, folks. According to this verse, as the potter saw fit to do. I'm running out of time here, but let's go to Romans. You say, well, Brother Wiggins, why don't you back that up with the scripture? Brother Wiggins, maybe you're preaching just your opinions. Let's look at Romans chapter 9 and verse 20. Let's look at that. Who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded, doesn't this sound like a potter to you? Will what is molded say to the molder? In other words, will the clay say to the potter, why have you made me like this? Now I'm going to tell you something that'll blow your mind. I believe that God heals. I believe that God does miracles. I believe all of that stuff. I believe in healing. I believe God touched Megan. Answer our prayers. I haven't got a problem with that. But did you know there's times that God will... I listened to an interview of a man that had, you call it cerebral palsy, and he can kind of walk, but he has to use those... They're not crutches. They go up on your arms, and he can walk like this. He's married. He's got family. And he said, and I listened to an interview of him, and he said, as morbid and twisted as this sounds, he said, I'm thankful to God that he created me like this. He says, my disability has opened so many doors for me to be able to share the gospel. And he says, I have shared the gospel. And he started naming the nations that he had been invited to go to and preach. And he said, if I had it to do my life to do over again, if I could do it all over again and have been normal and never had cerebral palsy, I would say, God, I just want to be what you made me to be. Some people God heals. Sometimes it's just God's plan. You just got to let the potter have the power over the clay. You've got to let the potter. I'm running out of time here. In fact, I'm going to read one more verse, comment on it, and Brother Carl, I will not be getting into verses 7 and 8 today. He said this, verse 5, he says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me." In other words, Jeremiah was down there at the potter's house, not even knowing what he was doing there. It's like, okay, God, you told me to come here. What am I here for? And he sees that potter take that marred vessel and remold it and remake it and reshape it into a beautiful vessel of honor. And then it says that the word of the Lord came to him right then and there. Verse 5, he says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me." And verse 6, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." God's saying, Israel, you're messing up, you're bowing down to idols, you're worshiping false gods, you're worshiping the gods of the nations that were conquered. But Israel, if you would just allow yourself to be in my hands like clay, Israel, I can fix you. I can fix you if you'll just repent. Let me fix you, Israel. Let me fix you. Give me that verse out of Philippians and let's stand today. Remember I told you how that sanctification is a process. That while you might be considered sanctified at the moment that you are saved, and truly you are, but sanctification is also a process that lasts your lifetime. The process of becoming holy. It's what sanctification is. It lasts your lifetime. And here's what Paul said in Philippians 1 and 6. He says, "I'm sure of this one thing. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." He started a work in you. He started working on you. And there's still inconsistencies and imperfections and rough edges and things that need to get straightened out in your life. But Paul said, "This one thing I know, he that begun a good work in you is able to complete it." He's able to complete it. He's able to make you. That was what Jeremiah learned the day he visited the potter's house. And there's so much more I can go into. I'm just kind of hitting some high spots here, and I'll go home and feel guilty, but hey, maybe I can, when I get back from Missouri, maybe we can talk a little bit more about this visit to the potter's house. Maybe we can have I don't want to sound carnal here, maybe we can have a sequel, okay, if we can, but let's pray. God, we're so thankful for you, thankful for your goodness, thankful for your word. Lord, let your word dwell richly in us. Let your word dwell richly in our hearts. Oh God, in Jesus' name, let your word accomplish your desire in our hearts, God. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.